Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the SAF-Holland SE Analysts and Investors Conference regarding the annual financial results 2016. All participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Stefan Haas.
So good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, thank you very much for attending the conference on a Friday, which is not the usual day. I would like to hand over to our CEO, Detlef Borkhardt, and we will later also give a short presentation of our new CFO, Dr. Matthias Heiden. Later on, there will be a question and answer sessions. Those guys dialing in are able to listen in listen-only mode, and they can also access the conference via the web link provided and follow the presentation. So let's start now. Thank you.
Yeah, also a warm welcome and good morning and good morning from my side. Thanks for being with us. Before I will start the presentation later on, I would like to hand over to the gentleman on the left-hand side. We have some fresh blood in our company, and I'm really proud and happy that we have been able to convince Dr. Heiden to join us, and I believe he's much better in introducing himself than I can do, so please, Matthias.
Thank you, Detlef. Appreciate it. Also, thank you very much for the kind welcome in the company. Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome from my side. What an exciting day it is for me to interact with you for the very first time as SAF Holland's new CFO. While I will not do a terrible lot of talking today because I am the new kid on the block, what I can safely share with you is that I shall do some talking in the future, and I look forward to working with you. I appreciate your interest. I am absolutely delighted to see so many people in the room and to have additional listeners on the phone. I shall be undergoing right now a very diligent onboarding program. As a matter of fact, I have in my career never seen such an intensive onboarding program and plan. Sometimes I come home in the evenings and I find myself pretty worn out and overwhelmed with information in the new industry that I have joined. But I can safely say that it is a terrible lot of fun. I'm learning every day and hopefully will be a trusted partner and speaking partner for you in the future as well to continue the dialogue. So with that said, thank you very much for having me. I look forward to working and speaking with you, and to engaging a bit more later on here in Frankfurt while we have some lunch, because that is slightly more safe territory for me than the official conference call. So look forward to that. Thank you for having me.
All right. Yeah, I'm Matthias, and don't forget to mention the best 2 days in your onboarding process, which will be the 2 days in production when you assemble the axles. That will be fun for all of us. Maybe not so much for you. Okay. The agenda for today, I will talk about the highlights of the business year 2016, followed by the market trends, talking about what's going on in the different markets globally in truck, trailer, and bus, followed by the financial information and the outlook for this year. In the past, we always divided the presentation in two parts. I did the first one and Wilfried Trip was the second one. I will do all the slides today and try to guide you through the slides. So, having said that, I would like to start with the highlights of the business year 2016. Starting with sales and profitability, we as SAF Holland successfully invaded many of the effects of the weak environment in several of the transportation markets worldwide. I will talk about that later on in one of the specific slides talking about the market trends. I'm really glad and happy that we managed that, that despite all the downturns in major markets, except Europe, we have been able to beat that. Our overall organic sales, therefore, in 2016 was almost stable at previous level. It's a minus 0.1% year over year, which is, I would say, the same. And after organic sales contraction in the first two quarters 2016, and I believe this is important, that the momentum in the organic sales growth picked up in the second half, and last quarter, Q4 last year, we have been able to manage a growth of 4%, which is a very nice hint also in the year 2017. Regarding the profitability, our target of achieving the adjusted EBIT margin on the upper half of the 8 to 9%, we also reached that. I would like to tick the box here with 8.7%, slightly below than the 2015 numbers. Yeah, second highlight, besides sales and profitability, is the bidding process for Haldex. That was one of the major things we did in 2016. And as most of you know, following the bid for Haldex, we decided to withdraw our offer after we saw that ZF jumped in and then later on Knorr-Bremse. And the highlight here, or the headline here, could be also, as you see here, financial discipline first. This is, from my point of view, very important also for our investors, or mainly for our investors. We will not do any adventures, or we will not do any acquisitions which doesn't make sense from the investment point of view. So this sentence, financial discipline first, is something you can count on. Yeah, Haldex was not successful, but we have been successful with acquiring the company KLL in the south of Brazil. We acquired in the first step 57.5% of the stakes of the company. KLL is the market leader in South America, especially in Brazil, for air suspensions for truck, buses and trailer, and that fits absolutely to our strategy 2020 to grow our market, our sales outside the core markets, North America and Europe. And KLL for us is an anti-cyclical investment, of course, because you know that Brazilian markets are not in the best, in the next best shape right now. I will talk about it later on also in detail, but in the first couple of months now with KLL, I'm very happy with this acquisition. The onboarding process, the integration of KLL works so far very well. Yeah, on the next page, I'm now on page number 4. There are two more bullet points, the one-time effects in the year 2016 and some new orders. Talking about the one-time effects first, I will elaborate on this later on more in detail, but just to highlight here, we had some one-time transaction costs totaled with 4.1 million euro, and Haldex was 3.4 thereof. We had a 600,000 euro positive impact from the Haldex transaction in the finance results, and you see that in brackets. By the way, we sold all shares from Haldex. This was done later in Q4 last year, so we have no more shares of Haldex in our balance sheet. Last but not least, we had some one-time effects in China, some write-downs on warranties. This is not adjusted, but this sums up with 1.6 million euros. Yeah, new orders. In 2016-2017, we won two pioneer orders with from U.S. Express. One we announced already, that was in September last year, with 1,800 trailers equipped with SRF Holland with a full-blown system. This means an axle, the wheel end, a disc brake wheel end, the suspension, and the slider box. So we call this content per vehicle. I will talk about that later on also a little bit more in detail. This is a pioneering order, and we now got the second one, the following one, another 1,800 trailers. We will publish that later on, probably next week. But for this, in this conference, I can tell you that we got the order, so this is another breakthrough, and that will convince more fleets in the future to go for disc brakes in the North American trailer market. So that's really great. Plus, we have been awarded by Navy Star, one of the major truck OEMs in North America. He awarded us to be their standard fifth wheel supplier for the next couple of years, and we hadn't had this position in the past. Yeah, this is a nice bridge to the next slide, which is the market trend. I am now on slide number 6 for those of you who are on the telephone line. You know this slide. We provide you with the numbers for our today core markets, which is North America and Europe. I start with the trailer market first. These are the first two lines. As you can see, North America last year a drop by 7% or 6% according to ACT and FDR to 358 or 310,000 trailers, depends how you count them. So last year was not good in North America for trailer, and the expectations for 2017 have been really bad. We did our budget on a basis of minus 16%. That was in October, November last year. So it looks like that it might be not that bad, as all market participants thought in last quarter last year. It looks better now. You see the revised numbers also from ACT and FTR. They're both talking about now a change of minus 9% only, not minus 16 or minus 20% as we heard last year. It looks a little bit better than expected. I jumped to the North American truck market now. I will do the trailer market in Europe later, which is the third line here. You see Class 8 trucks, and that's the market where we are in, mainly with suspensions and fifth wheels. You see a decline of minus 29% in 2016 compared with 2015. This is a sharp downturn. Nobody expected that. I remember when we did the budget for 2016, late 2015, we thought, okay, we might see minus 10, probably minus 15%, but nobody expected a minus 30. And of course, with our high market shares, as I said, that is a quite big burden, and we managed that, I believe, quite well. You see the numbers later on about the Americas region, but that was, as I said, a sharp downturn. What is the outlook for this year, 2017? You see ACT is talking about a minus 9%, pretty much the same decline than on the trailer market, and FTR is talking about minus 6. We don't know. We will see what will happen. So far, we see a further downturn, but if you look to the order intake to Class 8, for example, the month of February, which was 28% higher than February last year, that is a very nice indicator. As I said already in the trailer industry, it might be not that bad. So overall, when we hear, when you listen to our customers, both on the truck and trailer side, they report nice orders. There are a lot of order activities in the air. So overall, the outlook for North America, and I repeat myself, might be not that bad, as you can see here in these numbers. Coming to the Western and Eastern European market on the trailer side, which is line number, the second line here, you see a nice growth in 2016 of almost 7% to almost 300,000 units. And for this year, 2017, an almost stable market with slightly below 300,000 units. I always mention at that point of time that we see a total lower number. We don't see 300,000 trailers in the Western and Eastern European markets, but it doesn't matter. It's more about talking about the what is the change year over year. And I would confirm that 2016 was a good trailer year in Europe, and 2017 will be another good year. That's how we see it. Order intake is good. Our factories in Dessenbach are fully loaded. We are working on three shifts in both factories now, and that looks good. And you see the, you will see the numbers for Europe later on. 2016 was an excellent year for us in all three areas. It means trailer, truck, and also the aftermarket. Important to mention is at that point of time that we see, when we talk about Europe, that's including Turkey and that's including Russia. Turkey, just a word on this, this market is very quiet now. We see a 50 to 60% down compared with last year so far. And according to what we hear from our customers, there's no hope for recovery this year. So Turkey is not in a good shape. The Turkish market, sorry, is not in a good shape. And so the outlook is also not very positive. But, and this is important, the Turkish OEM, especially on the trailer side, export more and more trailers. That means even though the Turkish domestic market is low, their building activities are high. For example, the market leader in Turkey, which is a company, Tirsan, they might produce the same number of trailers this year than last year. Why? Because they have more and more export to other European markets. So therefore, our decision to start our production in Turkey, and some of you might know this, we will have the official opening party in 2 weeks from now in Düzce, which is 100 and something, 100 kilometers in the southeast of Istanbul. We will open this factory in a one-shift operation first, and we believe it was the right decision to go there, and we will ramp up production in the second quarter this year, and we will be fully ready to go in early third quarter. Everything is on track so far, and this additional capacity in Turkey will help us to have shorter lead times overall in Europe, but especially for customers in the Turkish area, but also for customers in Iran, Middle East, North of Africa. They all will benefit from this to having better logistics, lower costs, and higher flexibility. Yeah, last but not least, you see the global truck market, Western and Central Eastern Europe, which is the last line here. According to LMC, we saw 2016 a growth of 2.3% to 445,000 trucks. And this year, in 2017, they forecast another plus 1.6%. We are a little bit more conservative here. We don't believe this. We believe the European truck market will be less this year than last year. Could be up to minus 5%, but it's a little bit too early number. But anyhow, it's both the truck and trailer market are on a high level. So if we see a downturn of 5% in the truck market, the absolute number is still very high. And this is important to mention, when you look to the right of this chart, you see our share on total sales in these different markets. And as you can see, and some of you know, that the European truck market, our exposure to the European truck market is less than 4% of total sales. That means up and down in this market, you don't really see it in our top line regarding sales. So overall, Europe, good shape. Also 2017 will be good. North America, not in a good shape right now, but it might be not that bad as predicted. A few words to other markets, just going around the planet. Brazil, that's really a low light. Everybody expected Brazil will be better this year. Big truck OEMs talking about plus 5, plus 10%. Also, our trailer customers said last year, end of last year, 2017, will be better. We don't see that. Just had yesterday a long conference call with our management team in Brazil, and they provided me with some numbers for January and February. That means the registrations of new trucks and trailers in the first 2 months of this year. These are not official numbers. These are our numbers. We see another minus 22%. So from nothing, another minus 22%. I don't know how to calculate that. But this is really not good. There is some hope, there's always hope, but what will help is that the interest rates in Brazil will go down. We are coming from a 14-15% level. I believe we heard in April they're going to decline that to bring it down to 11%, which will help fleets to invest because everybody needs to finance the new vehicles. And I don't know if you know it, but if you look to the Brazilian Stock Exchange, it was yesterday on a 5-year high. So something doesn't match, okay? The actual order situation is very weak in Brazil, even weaker than last year, but the stock markets are extremely high. So that means there is some hope. We see some orders in the air in the Brazilian market. That means fleets are asking for pricing if we place 10, 100, 500 vehicles. This is always a good sign, but we don't know what will happen. So overall, Brazil is right now not very favorable. In Russia, I mentioned that briefly, 2016 was not that bad. I got last week some official numbers, roughly a 25% growth in the Russian truck and trailer market. That's what we saw or what we see. So it's not too bad. Coming from a low level, that's important to mention, but overall Russia seems to develop in the right direction, both in the new but also for the second-hand vehicles. Again, it's not a high volume, but it goes absolutely the right direction, and we might see the same good, not same positive numbers this year than we saw now last year. China, 2016, first three quarters have been not very good. That changed dramatically from September last year on. Why? There's a new regulation in place. I will talk about it later on more in detail, which limits the maximum weight of a truck and trailer combination. That means fleets need to buy new equipment now, modern equipment, which fits to this new regulation. And that boosted the order intake in China for truck, but all mainly for trailer OEMs, and we benefited from that in Xiamen, where we do trailer products like axles, suspensions, and landing gears. We are well loaded, and so the outlook for China for 2017, if this will remain, nobody knows this. Okay, if you ask customers how long will that last, everybody says, I don't know. Maybe 4 weeks, maybe 4 months, maybe the next 2 years. We will see. But over so far, it's quite positive. Australia is still weak. We see some signs of recovery, but it will probably remain on the same level than the last year. Is there anything I forgot? Yeah, Middle East, still quiet. Saudi Arabia, Dubai, 50-60% down from the previous levels. And Iran, still very quiet. We thought Iran will pick the markets in Iran will pick up. We haven't seen that so far. And if that will happen this year, we simply don't know. There is a chance, but it's a little bit too early to say that. Yeah, did I forget any market? Basically, I covered everything. Huh? Okay, so that's about the overall market trends and market situation. And we will see in the next couple of months how that will develop further. Coming to financial information, I am page number 8 now. Here's the executive summary with 5 bullet points. Bullet point number 1, talking about our sales. We reported a stable organic sales growth in 2016 with a positive trend in the last 2 quarters. In total 2016, the group sales decreased by 1.8% to 1,042,000,000 euros compared to 1,060,000,000 in 2015, and organically only by -0.1%. We had some burden effects. One is the translational FX effects, which came in with -12.7 million, and the divestiture of our airway product line end of 2015, which burdened us with -6.8 million in 2016. So sales we didn't have. In Q4 2016, we saw organic sales trends significantly improved by almost 4% year over year compared with 2015. Bullet point number 2, talking about the cross margin development, which is really nice. We improved our cross margin to almost 20% now. We are at 19.8% compared with 19.1% in 2015. And why is this? Mainly due to savings in sourcing, but also efficiency measures in the production and operations. And it was mainly due to our plant consolidation, which we did finalized end of 2015. So I would say that was the right thing to do, and we saw the benefit now in 2016 very nicely. And you will see that especially when I come back to the European numbers. Bullet point number 3, there's unfortunately a considerable swing in the finance result. The amount in 2016 to -13.5 million compared to only -4 in 2015. Why is that? We had a swing in the unrealized FX gains related to the valuation of our intercompany foreign currency loans, and that contributed 6.8 million positive in 2015, and this is now booked in other comprehensive income or OCI in 2016, so we don't see that anymore. Additionally, we had 3.1 million euros interest expenses due to our Haldex deal, the financing of the Haldex deal. But we had a 0.6 million euro positive effect from the Haldex transaction. Yeah, number 4 is earnings per share. This is a nice development. This is a development of only 0.98 euros compared with 1.14 euro in 2015. But nevertheless, we propose a 10% increase as a dividend, and I will come later on that more in detail. Number 5, cash flow, always very important. What about the cash flow generation. Here we can report an quite nice improvement in our net working capital and our discipline in investment. We didn't invest so much 2016 than in 2015, and that boosts our free cash flow to a record level of 67.7 million compared with 35 million only in 2015. So to visualize this, here are some graphs. On page number 9, you see the sales and EBIT or adjusted EBIT development 2015 compared with 2016. And as you can see, we see a decrease by 1.8% in the sales, but organically, as I said already, only 0.1%. And we came out 2016 with 1,042 million euro in sales. On the adjusted EBIT line, you see an 8.7%, which is in our target range. We said later last year, the target is to achieve an EBIT of the upper half of the 8 to 9% EBIT range, and with 8.7 at this target. On the next page, page number 10, you see the development by quarter. On your left-hand side, you see the sales development. And as I said already, in Q4, we saw a nice increase of almost 4% compared with Q4 in 2015, with 252 million euros in sales. Adjusted EBIT on your right-hand side, the development quarter by quarter. There are some one-offs which are not adjusted for in the adjusted EBIT, and this is mainly we have some one-time write-downs on inventories in China that was old stock, which we get rid of, plus we have some warranty cases, and that came in total with 1.6 million. If you compare the adjusted EBIT like for like, and I believe this is important to do, if we excluded this one-time write-down, as I just said, in the previous year, the adjusted EBIT margin in full year 2016 would have improved to 8.8%, 2015 only 8.7%. So, and if you see only Q4, the adjusted one, if we would have adjusted it, it would have been 8.1 compared with 7.8 in 2015. So that means like for like, Q4 was a good quarter for us. This also, as I said already, with the higher sales, we see also coming on in 17. Some bridges to explain the adjustment more in detail and what happened. I believe that's helpful for all of you to understand the numbers. Starting with the reconciliation of the EBIT to the adjusted EBIT, and as you can see the bridge here on the right, on your right-hand side, you see the adjusted EBIT of 90.4 million euros. The EBIT was adjusted by a depreciation and amortization from purchase price allocation, PPA, of 5.3 million euros and restructuring and transaction costs, mainly to the acquisition of Haldex, of KLL, is 6.6 million. So that means the EBIT came in with 78.5 compared with 90.4, the adjusted one. On the next page, you see the better explanation of these transaction effects on the earning, the EBT, earnings before tax. You see on your right-hand side the clean, we call it clean earnings before tax with 68.5 million. The EBT which we show with 65 is there's Haldex in with 3.4, KLL with 0.7. And the finance result out of this with Haldex with 0.6 million minus. That should explain a little bit more better the transaction effects for Haldex and KL in 2016. On the next page, which is page number 13, you see two bridges for the net income of the full year 2015 versus 2016. So this might answer the questions which might come up. Why did net income fall disproportionately by almost 20% 2016 compared to 2017? So first, and that's the upper half of this slide, you see the 2015 numbers. That contain net 4.7 million, as you can see, in positive unrealized currency effects from the valuation of our intercompany loans. And that was that is now in 2016 in our other comprehensive income, and so it means they have no earnings impact any longer on this. Second, and this you see on the lower part of this page, you see the in 2016 that KLL and Haldex transaction costs amounted to in total 2.9 million, which you can see as a gray bar there, and the additional interest expenses of 2.2 million, which had a negative effect. So that means in total you see from 51.7 million in 2015, this is explanation why 2016. So these have been some bridges coming to the sales by region and by sales channel. That's always a question most of you ask. You see on your left-hand side the sales development by region. Very strong growth in the Europe, Middle East, Africa, and India, EMEIE region, coming from 540 million euros in sales from 2015 to 568.8 million in 2016. A very nice increase of 5.3%. The Americas, which is the orange bar in the middle, came in last year with 402 million, which represents now 38% of our total sales. And the rest of the world, which is mainly in APEC and China, almost stable with 71 million euro in 2016 compared with 71.3 in 2015. In total, 1,042 million. The right-hand side shows the sales by sales channel. Our aftermarket, very stable, even a nice increase of almost 26% of our total sales, coming in with almost 270 million euro last year. So with this, I would like to talk on the next three slides about our three regions more in detail, starting with Europe and Middle East. The headline here is solid organic growth. As I said already, a very nice number of 568. That was, of course, the market was right, okay, as I showed in the other slide before. But we also gained some market share, especially on the trailer side with trailer axles and suspensions. The demand in the markets like Germany, Italy was very solid, but on top we saw South Europe like Spain, south of France, Portugal, etc., very nice increasing with double-digit numbers, 25-30% higher registration, both for trucks and for trailers, and so we benefited from that definitely. And as I said before, Russia was not that high, increasing, but there is more to come in this market. In the Middle East, we got some nice contracts from bigger OEMs, but as I said before, Turkey is not part of this, pretty weak. One of the best numbers in this presentation is the adjusted EBIT in Europe or in EMEIE, coming from 8.3% in 2015 now to more than 10% EBIT or 58.3 million, which is, my point of view, a really nice, very nice increase, and to increase margins by almost 2% points in 1 year is, due to my experience, not so easy. Why have we been able to do that? We produce very efficient now. After the plant consolidation in Europe, after we closed the factory in Wörth and consolidated in the other two factories in Bessenbach, we had some new products in the market. We had a very good product mix and customer mix. So all that was congratulations to my guys here. Well, they did a very good job. And plus our activities in sourcing. We bundle now sourcing. We do global sourcing now. It also helps enormously came to this nice number in Europe. Yeah, not so nice, to put some water in the wine, is our sales development and profitability in North America. Of course, we suffered by the market development, as I explained before, but we outperformed the market. That is very clear to see here. Our sales fell only by 10.5%, only in brackets, so don't get me wrong here. But as I said before, Class 8 collapsed by almost minus 30% and the trailer market by minus 7%. That means we did some market share gains, definitely, although we don't have the official numbers right now. And we got some very nice orders. We brought two new product lines in North America. We launched the so-called AeroBeam, which is a brand new air suspension for the North American trailer market, the lightest in the market. Plus, we launched some new products on the fifth wheel side, and so-called ELI. I will talk about that later. So all that helped, and with this, gaining market share, plus having higher content per vehicle, which is very important for us to counterbalance the market weakness, and all this helped to outperform the market. But 5% decrease in sales. On the profitability, that was, of course, affected by that. We have some underutilization of the plants, and we saw a heavy price increase in steel price and steel scrap price, and it takes some time to pass this steel price increases on to our customers. We are doing that. We're doing that already. We did that already, and some of this will come in this year, but we suffered on that last year. We have always this time delay when steel prices are increasing. With the downturn in the North American market, we saw, and also the outlook for 2017, we said, okay, now it's right, the right time to announce our restructuring plan for North America. We did it in January. Most of you might have seen that. We are going to close two plants out of seven in North America. That's our factory in Muskegon and in Holland. And roughly 250 people will be infected by that. But we will move this production to our existing plants, mainly in Dumas, Arkansas, and in Warrington, Missouri. And we will create new jobs there, net, roughly approximately 50% plus minus, 50 people plus minus, we will don't need anymore in the future. We have some investments to do in the remaining factories, the same as we did in Germany in 2015, upgrading the facility in Bessenbach and closing then the factory in Wörth. We do the same now in North America, upgrading Wiley and Warrington. This will cost us roughly 10 million euro in capex. We have some costs for severance payments, et cetera, but this will be done pretty fast. Most of it will be done at the latest middle of next year. Major steps we will do already this year. Overall, we see cost savings in the roughly 5-6 million euros. So we said mid-digit 10 million, somewhere in between, and this will come then in 2018. We believe with this plant consolidation we have the right setup for the future. That means in a perfect storm, if the markets will pick up in the second half of this year, at the latest next year, plus with a new plant structure in North America with a lower cost balance, this will help enormously to improve our profitability in the Americas. And so that we don't see the 7.4% which we saw in 2016 anymore. So with this, I would like to come to the APEC China region as the last one or the smallest region so far in our universe. Sales, as I said already, was almost stable with 71 million. We have different developments in our main two product lines. It means bus suspensions, our Corpco investment out of 2015, and our factory in Xiamen where we do trailer products. Xiamen did very well, Corpco didn't. And that is the main reason for the EBIT development, which you can see further down. We had only a 3% EBIT or 2.1 million. There's mainly two reasons. Corpco haven't done very well. I'm not very satisfied with this. The reason for that is that mainly Corpco, when we acquired the company, was heavily involved in air suspensions for big buses, transit buses, long-haul buses. The market is going down, went down last year, 2016. But the bus market for smaller buses, city buses up to 8-9 meters, that is increasing. And for us, it takes some time to adapt our products from the long buses, big buses, to the small buses. We're doing that right now. We will be successful in this. This is on the way, but it will take some time. But we need to have the engineers in COPCO, we need to have the people, so therefore we need to, to do this, and on the long run that means next year, that, or maybe even this year it will be better. Charma, as I said, is doing well, especially with the new regulation in China, with the new weights, total weight of vehicles. So, again, one of the reasons is COPCO, but we have some other negative impacts, special factors. We had a severe typhoon in Xiamen last year in September, which hit us, and we need to move, etc. And we have some one-time effects in a warranty case in China. So all that in total was 1.6 million. If you would add the 1.6 million to the 2.1, the picture would look much better than as you can see here. Overall, China is on track and will see better numbers this year. I believe that. So with this, I would like to now come to another highlight, our free cash flow in 2016. As we reported, we had a very strong free cash flow generation in Q4 16, up by 11%, and the full year free cash flow came in with 67.7 million euros compared with 35. As we said, we did a quite good job in net working capital, especially at the end of the year, and we didn't spend that much money last year than we did in 2015, and that sums up. Absolutely not satisfying is our days of inventory. You can see this. We are at 58 days. Our target here is clearly below 50 days, and we need to work on that, which will be difficult, to be very honest, this year, because due to the plant consolidation in North America, we need to build up some inventory because we closed factories, two of them, as I said, and we need to build up some stock in between, the same as we did in 2015 in Europe. But we are working on that, and also our subsidiary are working on reducing their days of inventory. So with this, okay, I need to look to the watch. I come to the reconsideration of the free cash flow. The same number as I just said. Important is the investments. We see with 25 million 2016, which is the last line from the bottom, second last line from the bottom, a little bit less than 28 million we spent in 2015. Why is that? In Germany, with our plant consolidation, we did all the main things we need to do, so there was no additional investment necessary in 2016. And in North America, we said it doesn't make sense to invest heavily in the plants. We are going to reorganize them anyhow. Therefore, we didn't spend so much money in 16 than 15. So, and then basically free cash flow, as you see in the last line, with 67 million. Don't expect that for the future. Okay, this is an all-time high, not all-time high, but there was a very nice number in 2016. This is not something to expect for this year. So, there's a new slide which we put in. We thought now, having 2016, another dividend which we are going to pay to our shareholders, and we said it's right time now to talk a little bit about our history. That's now the fourth year in a row that we're going to pay a dividend. In 2013, we started with 27 euro cents, increased that to 32 in 2014, 40 cents last year, and our proposal to the annual general meeting early May this year to our shareholders is to pay a dividend of 44 euro cents for 2016. And I expect that in the annual general meeting this will be accepted. So with this, only two slides to go. This is the outlook about our financial targets for this year. Sales, which is the first line here, we expect sales coming in this year somewhere in between 1.06 billion euros and 1.09 billion. That's important to say, assuming that stable FX rates an unchanged scope of consolidation, and the asterisk also here, there's no significant deterioration of political and economic and industry-specific environment. Not include any potentials if we do any acquisitions, which this will, of course, come on top. This is absolutely in line with our long-term strategy 2020. just to remember everybody, the sales here is the target is to grow sales to 1.25 billion organically, plus another roughly 250 million in acquisitions, joint ventures, or corporations. So in total, coming up then 2020 with 1.5 billion euros in sales. For the profitability, the adjusted EBIT margin for NEC for this year, we see an 8 to 9% range again, same as we said last year. From today's standpoint, we believe that we'll be in the midpoint of this range. Net working capital will end up somewhere between 12 and 13%, and CapEx higher than last year. We will spend something between 28 and 31 billion euros this year, which is in line with our strategy anyhow. We said even until 2020, every year we will have something between 2-2.5% CapEx in relation to our total sales. Yeah, that's about the outlook. Final last page. We thought it's probably nice to give you a little bit of overview what's going on with the new buzzwords like digitalization, digitization, etc. We are also working on that. I believe everybody in our business is doing that. We have a word for that. We're going to call it smart steel, which might give you a hint what we are going to do. And we try to visualize it pretty easy, some easy pictures. What we do is, and you can see it, we have products. This is mechanics. Doesn't matter if it's axles, suspensions, fifth wheels, landing gears. The thing is, how can we, coming to new business models, which is step four on the right-hand side of this slide. In between, we believe it's absolutely necessary that we upgrade our products with electromechanics. And there's one nice example. We call it E-Light. What is this? We launched it October last year in North American market. There is a device in the fifth wheel which tells the driver with a light, yes, the trailer is correctly coupled with the truck. This is extremely important because if this is not the case, the truck goes out of the yard and lose the trailer. Not a good idea because the trailer is heavy, 28 tons. It's something which should be coupled to the truck in a good way. You won't believe how many trailer drop-offs we see. There are no official numbers available, but many. So that means this is a serious safety issue because people can get hurt or even worse. So we are the first one offering this system. Very simple, but this is a nice example how you can, let's say, put intelligence in steel. The fifth wheel, everybody believes, is just a greasy, dirty piece of steel. Yeah, it is. But you can make this product intelligent. So if you couple this E-Light, for example, with the driver, with the cab, or also with the fleet owner, then they know exactly if the driver stopped the trip in a safety way. This is important. We can do many more things. For example, we can see what is the temperature of our bearings. All our axles have bearings. If they are overheated, you have we call it flying wheel. Also not a very nice thing is a 150 kilogram item flies over the motorway, okay? Because if the bearings are overheated, they destroy it, they destroy themselves, and the wheel flies away. Safety, it's all about safety. If you put a sensor in the bearings telling the mechanics, the driver, or the fleet owner, this bearing is overheated now two times, it might last another 1,000 miles or another 3 months, but then it's time to replace it. Safety, this is uptime, and this is pre-active maintenance. So we can do many things with all our products. We are doing that right now. Some things we have already on the road, for example, SE Light. Other things are in preparations, and that's what we are working on. Next step is then, second step, how can we digitize information and data? And here a lot of people talk about what they can do and should do and might do in the next 5 years. I would like to talk a little bit about what we're already doing. For example, all our products not all, but all our axles, suspensions, and fifth wheels we are selling in Europe, are producing in Europe, and some of them also in North America, having a barcode on the product. So we are the only one globally who are doing that. Why is that? You go with your smartphone or tablet, whatever it is, scan the barcode, and immediately the mechanic, the driver, whoever has to, something to do with this component, with this system, see, this is the part number. See, here are the drawings. Here are the numbers if you replace, need to replace a component. Here is where you can get it. You can order it. So it's very easy to deal with these products. And we are, as I said, we are the only one doing this right now. We're doing that already for 3 years. We are now going to introduce it in North America as well. That means we connect the mechanic, the driver, the spare part dealer, and also the owner of the fleet with all these data very easily. And for them, it's saving time and not doing any mistakes. So what then? To integrate all this, to connect all that, that might, and that really might, we believe in new business models. We can sell service, uptime, this is very important. And all this, as I said, we are working on. We just decided to hire an additional 10 people, engineers, electronic engineers, to do this, 9 people to be precise. And so you will hear more on that in the future. And just to let you know, we are also heavily going in this direction. Okay, that's for now. I believe I'm in time, almost. Perfect. Okay, thanks. With this, I'm done with my presentation. Thanks for your for listening. And Mr. Haas, your one.
Yes, so the line's open for questions. I think Mr. Kommel was first.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my question. It's Sascha Kommel from Commerzbank. The first question would actually be on regional development, especially North America or America, your Americas region. Despite the very negative market development over the last quarters, you always protected the margin level at a very high level. Now in the fourth quarter, it came down quite a bit. Maybe you can explain a little bit why that was the case, considering that the market has been weak before. Has your utilization just dropped below a certain level that was important, or there was some one-off costs we are not seeing from the outside? Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. Then, second of all, Europe. The market has been growing nicely, and your margin has been coming up. Now, when the market is getting a bit softer now, do you see the risk that your margin will also deteriorate? And then, last but not least, on your guidance, when I take both midpoints, you're generating 33 million incremental sales, but only 1 million incremental EBIT. That looks a bit low. So maybe you can share what's in there and what's driving that. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mr. Gommel. Yeah, thanks for your questions. Let me try to answer them. USA development Q4 on the profitability side, yes, absolutely not satisfying. That is true. But we have been very fast during 2016 to adapt our production levels to the market downturn of people, reducing shifts, reducing network and capital, et cetera, et cetera. What we usually do, and we do that for decades now, we know how that works. Okay. In Q4, we should have done more, okay, but we said if we reducing shift, even more shifts, taking out people, we will come to a level which might be good for our profitability, but if the market will pick up, if we get new orders, we don't get the people anymore. To give an example, in the Michigan area, for example, where we are going now to shut down the 2 plants and 250 people will lose their job, these ladies and gentlemen will get a job the next day. The unemployment rate in this area is almost, 3%, 3.5%, just no unemployment. It means we said, okay, we need to dive through that, okay? We might have a little bit higher costs or more people on board, which we needed, but we decided to take this burden to be prepared. Otherwise, if orders will come in and we cannot fulfill, customers get mad. So this is probably not the best explanation, and you might say, yeah, but you should look on your cost. Yes, but we have a long-term view, and if you don't get people, you cannot put them. That is one reason. The other reason is, and I mentioned that in my presentation, steel price that hit us. The steel price increase, scrap steel price in North America last year was quite steep, quite heavy. And we, as always, and that's the experience for years now, many years, it takes time to pass it on to our customers, especially in days or times when the market is not good. Then OEMs are very hesitant to accept the price increase, although this is fixed in the ATA, which is contractually given. So, yeah, that's another reason. Overall, the margin should be higher, but okay, I hope I explained that. We don't see this margin drop because we drop prices. Okay, to be very clear on that, that is not the case. It is more volume driven, and as I said, the next question was about Europe. We are price aggressive in Europe. Yes, what we have always been. But on the other hand, as I said before, we also cut costs in production because of the efficiency, higher efficiency after the plant consolidation. We didn't spend so much money on sourcing anymore, so that means most of the cost reductions in terms of gross profit, we did it more or less half-half. That means half of the reductions we our account, and the other half we gave into the market to gain market share. And we gained market share last year. We don't know the numbers, as I said, but we believe this is the right strategy. Why we're doing this, we would like to create copulation. That means bringing axles and fish within the market, and then 3-4 years later to harvest the aftermarket. So last question on the guidance. It's too early in what we are now, 20-something, what is the date today? Somewhere in March. As you always know, in our market, it is too early in March to say, yes, we do whatever margins or the sales will be this and this high. Our visibility is 4 to 6 weeks. We did our budget, the numbers I told you, or we told you as a guidance, both in terms of sales and EBIT, is something we believe we can achieve. Is there potential for more? Yes. But then, as I said, Europe, Russia might come back, Iran might come back, US might be even better, as I said. But there's also some risk. Mexico, for example, we do a lot of business in Mexico. So the operational-wise, it could be difficult to sell trucks and trailers there. That means the market is going down in Mexico. Plus, we have the currency problem in Mexico. We do a lot of aftermarket sales in Mexico. With the peso development, that does not help at all. So there are also some risks. So overall, we believe at that point of time, it's
I just follow up. It's less actually about the figures itself. It's more about the drop-through rate from your incremental revenues to the earnings line. Is there any reason why it's so low? I mean, you could also guide for flat revenues or flat EBIT or whatever. It's more about the drop-through rate. It's only 3%, and considering that you have some fixed costs, I would assume that when you guide for slight growth, that the drop-through would actually be higher.
There is no specific reason for that.
Maybe you want to add a couple of words on the aftermarket situation in the US?
This is important because the aftermarket sales definitely influence our EBIT line or cost profit line more than the OE business, as you know. That looks better now. What we hear from the markets, from spare part dealers, is that the drop last year, and we're talking about roughly 7% down in the North American aftermarket overall, so not only on us, but everybody. What we hear is from customers that this is done now. They expect no more decrease in this area. There is a nice chance of an uptick. Plus, we see now the first wave of the very high numbers of trucks and trailers produced in 2013. These trucks are now this year in 2017, so they need the first spare parts. So this will kick in now, step by step. mainly in the second half of this year. So in the aftermarket, we see that quite positive, and that will help.
I think the next question was from Mr. Schaefer, HSBC.
Yeah, hi, Matthias Schaefer. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, it relates to Sascha Gomez's question a bit on the guidance. So you just mentioned you're expecting improvement in the North American aftermarket sales. So usually I would assume that that should lift your margin since your mix improves. But on the other hand, you guide for a margin decrease. Does that mean that the underlying OE business, the margins there are getting worse? And maybe does that relate to price decreases in the market? Also, I realize you expect your key end markets to decline or be stable next year or this year, and still you guide for growing sales. So is the sales growth coming from market share gains that might come at the expense of price decreases?
Yeah. First of all, you shouldn't underestimate Brazil. Okay, as I said, you saw a negative EBIT in Brazil Q4, even though with KAL lost money, our acquisition now. And in Brazil, as I said before, this will be a challenging year. Let me say this. So that will not help, and that is part of the consolidation in North Americas. That definitely will not help. And as I said, we don't know how that will go on. The idea is to reach break even in Brazil later this year. If you can do it, it really depends on the market. So that is part of it. And overall, no, for North America, we don't see price decreases. But as I said, we might have problems to pass on our steel price. So the higher cost, mainly due to higher steel prices, I'm not so sure yet. We are in negotiation with all of the OEMs, and they are stubborn. So there is a risk related.
Mr. Ludwig?
Thank you. Christian Ludwig, Bank of London. A couple of questions. First of all, just again, one last question on the guidance maybe. You said this U.S. effect was something that happened after you did your budget. So is it fair to assume that actually, as of today, your guidance would have been slightly higher on sales? The second question, what kind of adjustments to EBIT should we put in our model for this year? I mean, I've just a rough calculation came out with roughly 18 million. Just wanted to check if that's roughly the ballpark. And third question, Haldex did not happen. You are left with a very large chunk of cash on the balance sheet. So what should we expect you to do with that going forward?
Okay, let me start with the last one. What we're doing to do with the cash, we will spend it. That's the clear idea. Haldex didn't work. Okay. We are looking for acquisitions. That is very clear on the to-do list, especially from the management team and also on my side here. There's nothing to report right now, okay, which is where we can talk about, but there are clearly targets on the way. We are in discussions, but we are not under pressure here. So that means the target must fit to our strategy, as it Haldex did, okay, very nicely. And if you can do something this year, then we will do it. If not, then it will be next year. It will definitely, until 2020, that is very clear, and we are now in 2017, so the clock is ticking, the time is running for sure, but as I said, we are not under pressure here. We will find very good ways to spend this money.
Just a quick follow-up. Would it be imaginable if you don't find anything this year that you recall the bond early, for instance?
First of all, for example, next year, in the first quarter next year, we need to repay the 70 million bond, which is out there for 7%, by the way. So we need to replace this. We can use some of the cash for, we will use some of this cash for this, very clearly. On the other finance activities, I believe that's too early to report on this. Okay.
You have to see that we spend roughly 5.2, 5.3 million on that bond, which expires in March next year. So that has an impact on the finance result.
Okay. Your second question was about the adjusted EBIT. What we're going to have this year.
We have the roughly 10 million, as we already stated, for the US. And if you assume another 8.5, around about, as we can say from today's point of view, your assumption would be pretty much right.
Yeah, I'm going to say that absolutely you are quite from today's perspective. Yeah. What was your first question again? Sorry.
With the US business now picking up or with a better outlook, what will your guidance look like?
Okay, we don't guide on specific regions, as you know. We never did that, also not on the business unit in the past. At the end, you know, it's a balance of the different regions, and it played perfectly this last year, 2016, with a weak North American markets, strong Europe markets. And we believe overall the guidance is for the total group, and we will see how the development is in the different regions. As I said, there is a chance for better North American. And then we are going to change our guidance in the course of the year, but for now it is too early. And I repeat, our visibility is 4 to 6 weeks. That's what we have orders on hand. That means we are in March, so that means I can tell you what we do end of April, but that's it. What we do in May and June, we have an idea, but we don't know.
Mr. Breitsprecher?
Christian Breitsprecher, Macquarie. I have two questions. One, could you talk a little bit about your free cash flow expectation for this year? I mean, CapEx is going to be up. Network and capital requirements are going to be up. So can you at least tell us, you know, that you're going to be still significantly free cash flow positive or something like that? And the second issue on the restructuring in the U.S., can you tell us a little bit, you know, how that is progressing, which quarters, and from when on we should be expecting positive impact on margins coming?
Yeah, Mr. Breitsprecher, thanks for your questions. Free cash flow this year, I would be disappointed, okay, if it would be below 40 million. I hope that answers your question. The restructuring in the U.S., we are on track. We have a lot of projects running. We will start with the closure of the factory in Holland. This is on the way. First equipment is already moved out of the factory to our factory in Dumas and in Muskegon. The second step will be then the closure of the factory in Muskegon, and the third one will be to close the headquarters, the old headquarters in Holland, with all the departments like HR, IT, some engineers, plus our testing center, which we run in Holland, which we also will be moved to Muskegon. And this is the last step. Regarding the operations, so all the plans that will be done probably end of this year already. So we are, I believe, very fast in this to move the all the fixed, let's say, the white colors like IT, etc. That's something for early or first quarter 2018. That means if everything runs well, and you never know in a plant consolidation like this if all the machines will restart on time, etc. So it's always a little bit, how to say, you need to be a little bit flexible on this. It could be easily 1 month earlier or later, but overall, the most of the work will be done end of this year. But again, we said we need 18 months, okay, to be on the safe side, but I believe we will be faster. That means savings will come in 2018. Don't expect a lot this year.
Mr. Schult?
Thank you. Tim Schult, Equinet. One quick question with regard to the defense business in the U.S. You used to have a pretty profitable contract there in the past, and obviously there has been some talk and there has been the budget presented by President Trump, I think, yesterday, which forecasts a big increase in spending for defense. Do you have any idea how your product, that, or specifically the Hammett, is affected, or will this benefit from this increase as well?
Yeah, I saw that also yesterday. I believe Mr. Trump talked about another $50 billion, something like that, putting on top of the already quite high spending on military. We have no idea. Okay, it really depends where they're going to put the money. Is it in the for the Marine? Is it for the aircraft, or is it for the Army? If it is for the Army, then we are in, because then they will buy new trucks. And in the truck business, we are specced there. It's a hard spec. It means most of the trucks, like the Hammett order, will run with an Holland, or the brand name is a New Way air suspension. And this is high margin, as you know from the past. But there's nothing on the table for now where I can say, yes, there is another 10 million or 20 million order to come. Just as a reference, in the good years, and that was before 2014, before 2013, and the Hammett order was 2009, okay? It was an exceptional high order with $150 million coming in with a 40% plus gross margin. So something to come again, maybe. I really don't know. In normal years, we do roughly $30 to $35 million in the truck suspension for special vehicles, and part of that is the Army. This year, we budget almost nothing. Last year was almost nothing. So the year before, 2014, almost nothing. So there is time, okay, to reinvest. When and to what extent, how many vehicles, I would love to say it, but we don't know. And this is also not predictable, okay? Again, it is not in our budget. If that something will come, it will take some time, okay? Even though some of the whatever extra spending will come to the U.S. Army, that will take probably 2 to 3 years before it really come in our factory as an order. But maybe to add here one or two sentences, all the other activities which might come in U.S., that means the lower tax rates for companies, if this will come, that of course will free up some money for investments in whatever, okay, new production plants, new machines, new whatever, that means transport, very clearly. Plus, the extra spending in infrastructure, new airports, bridges, roads, whatever they're going to do, that means transport as well. Every brick, every stone, whatever, needs to transport from A to B. That means we will clearly benefit from this from the very first moment. Plus, if the protectionism will increase, that also means normally more transport. Because if production will be shifted back to North America, USA, that means more production in the country, and these parts, components, whatever, bricks, as I said, little bolts, ceilings, needs to transport in the country and not on a sea container. That means also more transport. So overall, all these activities, business-wise, okay, don't ask for my private opinion, business-wise, will accelerate our business because it all means transport.
I think there was a question back there.
Werner Friedman, A's and I's. I have a question on Turkey. Since the new plant in Turkey is, I believe, more or less a replication of your plants here in Bessenbach, what are the cost advantages realized there? And then I believe you have a production target of 35,000 axles there. In which year, roughly, will this be met? Another plan also from the annual report, I saw your new product, kind of a hydraulic-driven wheel. Can you give a hint on the market potential you see long-term?
Good questions. Turkey, starting with this, yes, the setup for the plant is in a two-shift mode to produce up to 35,000 axles a year. This is the capacity which we are planned for. We will start as a one-shift operation, as I said, in 2 weeks from now.
And then if the market demand is there, if we can fill the capacity, then we will do a second and maybe a third shift. So the long-term plan is within the next 2-3 years to reach the 35,000 targets, axles per year. And again, we are flexible in this. If you can do it earlier, then we add people. If not, then we run only on a one-shift basis. The cost reductions, definitely will not talk about this, because some of our customers might listen to this call, and they will be happy, very happy to get this information. But of course, there are lower costs involved, mainly due to two reasons. First is lower transport costs from our plants in Dessenbach to the region, Turkey, Middle East. Transport is very expensive from Germany to into these regions. And of course, if you produce the products locally, there's a nice benefit in transport costs. Second is that a lot of our suppliers, current suppliers, sitting in Turkey. That means we bring all the material, all the components from Turkey to Germany, assemble it, and then bring it back as a fully dressed axle to these markets. Also, we save this cost. And the third point is that the compensation level in Turkey is much lower than in Germany. Turkey, a welder, approved welder, has an average hourly rate of €6. Our guys in Germany are around €30. So that means we have some advantages on the cost basis in logistic, transport, but also on the production costs. This will help to reduce costs overall. The agreement with Turkish customers and customers in the region is that they will get products made in Turkey a little bit cheaper than from Germany. This is our advantage then, to be in local there. But we will see to what extent. But overall, it's a very nice benefit for all participants. It means for us, but also for our customers, to save costs. I hope that answered your question on Turkey. The new products, yes, we launched the Track. That is the name of this product. That's the first hydraulic-driven axles made by SAF Holland. I can't say, unfortunately, it's the first drive axles for a trailer at all, because in the past, some people did it, but nobody did it so far on an industrial basis. That means kleine Erfinder, I have no idea what this is in English. So some people got the idea and did it somewhere in a workshop, okay, and tried to power an trailer axle. We are the first ones globally who are doing that on an industrial basis. We work together with a French company called Poclain. Poclain is a market leader for hydraulic motors. They do it, for example, for MAN, for their drive axles. They do it for Iveco and other truck OEMs. So they are very well known in the market. And in the combination with us, as one of the market leaders for trailer axles and suspensions, we believe this is a very nice cooperation. The track axle is mainly for niches, market niches like dumpers, tippers, vehicles like that. That means trailers who need some extra power in case they are running in difficult conditions, okay, somewhere in the mud or wherever. So, and this extra power costs a lot of money if you put it on a truck. We're talking about 15, 16,000 euros additional cost if you equip your truck with this extra power. To do it with our track costs almost half. And with this, we have a very nice margin, very nice margin. So, but this product is not a volume product, okay, the tipper and dumper market in Europe, I would say, is roughly 10, maximum 15% of the total market, and not all of the tippers and dumpers don't need this extra power, but in this market range, there is a need for this, and we believe we can offer that much easier, because to equip a trailer with this extra power is much, much easier than to do it with a truck. We do it more cost-effective. And one of the big benefits is with a truck in these conditions. You pay this, let's say, 15,000 extra, but you run the truck only for 3-4 years. Then you use a trailer with half of the investment minimum for 7-8 years. It means your return on invest much better than to do it with a
So therefore, we believe this is a great product. Customers would love to get this immediately. We will start production later this year, last quarter 2017, and then really ramp up early 2018. And we have already a lot of orders on that. But again, this is not a volume product. We will not do 10,000 of them. This is a niche. But it shows that the main idea, dear customer, dear small OEM or small fleet, if you have an issue, if you have a challenge, if you have a problem, come to SAF Holland, we do it. If you can pay for it, we do it. And this is the main message, because a lot of customers, especially in Europe, believe we are the volume producer only. We do hundreds of thousands of axles every year, and we only deal with the big OEMs, which is not the case. We also deal with the small and medium-sized customers, and for these customers, we would like to be the number one choice. And therefore, we developed this product and said, look, we can do that. Again, not a volume product, but very helpful. I hope that answers your question.
By the way, there's a story in the magazine which you find in the annual report on the SAF track, so you can read more about it. Any other questions? Mr. Gommer?
Yes. Sorry. Maybe coming back to your inventory situation. You wrote it's not satisfactory, and I can see why. Maybe you can share a little bit the details behind it, and that's maybe also a question for Dr. Heiden, who might have had a look on the working capital development already and might have some ideas how to improve it. My understanding was that actually after the plant consolidation in Europe, that the inventory level is actually going down. Now, your revenues have more or less been flat, and the inventories are actually going up. So maybe you can share a bit more details around the situation and how you see it improving and what actually are the measures to improve the working capital going forward. Also, timing component would be nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Next time, Matthias will answer this question. I do it for now. I'll try to do it for now. As I said before, with 56 days of days of inventory, this is absolutely not I'd say not acceptable. That is not what we are going to go for. The target is clearly below 50 days. What we found out is that in the past we reduced, especially in the aftermarket, with most of our subsidiaries, and all of our subsidiaries, all of our subsidiaries have a stock for spare parts. That means in Spain, in France, in Mexico, in Brazil, etc. What we did in the past, we put too much pressure on this for the network capital there. They didn't store enough parts, especially end of the year. Okay, and then what happened in January, the first 2 or 3 weeks, we didn't have enough spare parts to supply, which is good on the balance sheet, okay, because network capital is low, but business-wise, it's not really smart because we lose sales. And especially on the aftermarket, we lose very nice gross margin. So, and we realized that in the course of last year, said, okay, what can we do to improve the situation? And what we did is we stocked up. It cost money, that cost net working capital. But if this turns in sales, and that is clearly the plan, therefore, in the future, we will see higher levels. But again, if this shows higher aftermarket and use, okay, you can't see the numbers anymore because we report now in regions, but when you, and we do that, of course, look, for example, especially in Europe, to the development of our aftermarket business unit, talking in old terms, it is really fantastic. Part of the more than 10% EBIT in Europe is clearly coming from the development in the aftermarket in terms of sales, but also in terms of profitability. I'm glad that I don't need to report on this anymore in detail because a lot of our customers got really upset about this. So the plan is to have the right stock level in our subsidiaries, but in our plants, we're going to reduce stocks. One of the reasons for the plant consolidation in Europe was to reduce net working capital, and we did that. Unfortunately, you can't see that, because it's counterbalanced now by the development in North America, as I said, in USA, with the plant consolidation. But on the long run, there are a lot of activities running to reduce complexity in the plants. In North America, coming from 7 plants to 5 needs a lot of reduction in stock because we have simply less plants where we can stock material.
We have to expect another increase of inventories due to the plant consolidation in the U.S., and will it then be kind of a counter swing in 2018 on the inventory?
It will definitely be better in 2018, that's for sure. What happens in 2017, we will see. The idea is that, yes, definitely we will have higher inventory in North America, as I explained already, but the idea is to counterbalance with lower inventory in other regions. If that will work, we will see. Depends a little bit on the order intake in North America. If markets will pick up, then we need to have more material in stock. We will see.
There's one effect in the figures. The KLL acquisition added roughly 5 million to inventories.
Right.
So if you deduct that, things look better.
If I may, real quick, just so that you hear my voice answering your question as well. Detlef, I love the alignment in the thinking. You're obviously much more eloquent in answering this at this point. But rest assured, the answer to your question to me is certainly yes. I have started to look at net working capital. Also, rest assured that the company shall not lose its focus in net working capital management. But yes, I absolutely agree that there is a fine line between balancing a business need and polishing a statistical number as of a balance sheet date. That is certainly one of my first learnings during the onboarding process. But we will continue to focus on the different components and elements of net working capital.
Any other question? Okay, so we can get ready for a small reception next door. I hope you can spare some additional time, maybe also to talk to Matthias. And I'd like to thank you very much for attending today in large numbers. Also, all the best to the guys listening on the phone line.